Welcome to today's edition of Feet to the Fire, where we're always challenging the status quo. For more cutting-edge commentary, go to feettothefire.org. That is feet, the number two, thefire.org. And now your host.
This just in, Bernie Sanders has sold everything and joined the Viet Cong. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. After losing the Democrat primary and being disenfranchised over the email scandal that showed the entire DNC was rigged in favor of Clinton, socialist candidate Bernie decided to jump ship and go live amongst his own people who are more like him. That is, 1960s communists. And it works perfect because the Viet Cong, well, they're all pretty much Bernie's age now anyway. The only problem, they've handed over all of their weapons and are now completely disarmed after Sanders introduced his radical gun control policy. All they've got left is a languishing Occupy Wall Street movement. Welcome, everyone, to Feet to the Fire, the new voice of conservative dissent, where we draw attention to the fascinating lunacy of the left and hold them accountable. It's 2016, and we've got an election to win. The conventions are over. We've got our candidates. Donald Trump for the GOP, Hillary Rodham Clinton, federal criminal, felon on the run, is the DNC candidate. And as conservatives and Christians and Republicans, we are faced with this question, and I keep hearing it, which is why I want to address it today. What do we do? Do we vote for Trump? Can we vote for Trump? What's the explanation for voting for Trump? And I want to give an emphatic answer. Yes, absolutely. We have to know we get behind Trump optimistically, as a friend said to me recently, cautiously optimistic, but optimistic nonetheless, and we are behind Trump. And there are very simple explanations why. Now, we are in a two-party system, and this is where, as much as I love Ted Cruz, I do think that he was wrong in his decision not to endorse at the Republican convention 2 weeks ago. As a matter of fact, if he wasn't going to endorse, which I explained in some previous episodes, I understand his conviction on that and why he did that. He just shouldn't have given the speech. He shouldn't have gone up there and given a speech with the conclusion of not endorsing. If you're going to give a speech, if you're going to get behind a microphone or get in front of the camera on behalf of the Republican Party this season, you need to be endorsing Trump. It was not a wise decision on his part. We all need to. As I said, it's a two-party system, and it has created a balanced political system in this country. It's the way our Congress works, and we cannot let the other party win. A third party candidate right now is not optional. I agree with Abe Lincoln. I agree with Frederick Douglass. I agree with so many of the great reformers that have gone before us. We have to use the system in order to bring reform. We have to reform the system from within. And so we use the Republican Party, and we elect the right candidates through the Republican Party in order to form the system. That was Reagan's concept as well. We need to bring the Republican Party and the GOP back to its roots. And in many ways, Trump can do that on a lot of issues. That's how Reagan won his landslide victory. We don't hold to this concept of political insurrection or anarchy. Third-party candidates don't work. What happens is if you go for a third-party candidate or don't vote, listen up, Christians, conservatives, you're electing Hillary Clinton. That is inevitably what is going to happen. Hillary Clinton's going to win. And we can't have that because Hillary Clinton will be a tyrannical dictator. Hillary Clinton is wrong on every issue, top to bottom. And Hillary Clinton will be immeasurably worse, infinitely worse than any concerns we may have about Trump. Let me give you two criticisms of Trump and let me answer them. Number one, we get this constant, repeated narrative that the problem with Trump is his bombastic rhetoric and he's an egomaniac. And the thing is, that's not the problem with Trump. Any complaint about Trump could be this that I've said so often. He's not a conservative ideologue, so it's still up in the air where he'll land on some issues and how conservative he'll be. And I'll address that in a second. But the fact that he uses bombastic rhetoric is not a problem. As a matter of fact, that's the good part of Trump that makes him effective and makes him attractive, is he's not afraid to say what has to be said on all the issues. He's politically incorrect, if you can call it that, and isn't worried about licking his finger, sticking it in the air, and finding out what the polls say, and he's not worried about making sure he doesn't offend people. You know, we had a speaker come at our church, Pastor Vody Bakum, who is a fantastic, well-known pastor, and he did a conference called the Ever-Loving Truth Conference, and one of the things he pointed out is we've created in our culture of cowardliness and spinelessness and weakness, a lack of masculinity. We've created what he calls the 11th commandment, thou shalt be nice. And based on this 11th commandment, it's this cultural mandate on everybody that if what you say offends someone, you necessarily are wrong and should not be saying it. And that's the problem with people's analysis of Trump. They're following the 11th commandment. Just because something might offend doesn't mean it's not true, not right, and doesn't need to be said. It has to be said. So let me give you examples. When Trump says we need to build a wall, he is absolutely correct, build a wall. When we need to deport illegals, he is absolutely correct, we deport illegals. When he talks about crime amongst Hispanic illegals and drug dealers and rapists coming over the border out of Mexico, he's absolutely correct. It's not racist. He's not bound by this false notion of 11th commandment. He is speaking confidently and asserting what is true. And that's the thing. He's not an egomaniac. People mistake confident masculinity now as being an egomaniac, and they completely dismiss it and say, that guy loses all moral credibility because he's just an arrogant male. No. Confident masculinity and asserting the truth is necessary, it is valuable, it is admirable, and it's missing in this culture. And that's part of reforming the GOP that I'm talking about. We've got to stop giving in to these notions of political correctness, kowtowing and bowing to the left and saying, we won't say that because it offends people. No, the GOP has to start talking like the GOP, like it used to, like it ought to. He's right about Muslim immigration. It has to be stopped from countries that are controlled by terrorists, that are threatening us with these so-called migrants and invading the West and invading our country. He is absolutely correct when he says we need to protect Second Amendment rights because these crimes and violent outbreaks against our civilization, particularly from terrorists, would not be happening if, this is a Trump line all the time, if bullets were flying in the other direction. He's right. He's right again and again. You know, in the convention, he even said that we need to protect our pulpits and our churches by overturning and basically repealing, I don't know, it was some statutory amendment. I think it might have been Lyndon Johnson he mentioned from a few decades ago that said churches cannot make any political statements or take any position on politics because if they do, they'll lose their tax-exempt status. That threatens pulpits everywhere and churches everywhere and says you have to shut your mouths when it comes to civics and politics. And that's wrong. The church is called to speak up on everything and on every topic and take a stand. So he wants to protect the pulpits. I mean, this is good stuff and he's not afraid to say it. That's why his so-called egomaniacalism, if that's a word, is a false accusation. It's confidence from Trump, which is what we need. And his bombastic rhetoric will not threaten his campaign. It's what makes him appealing, that he's saying things in strong colors and bold language. All right, what about the second accusation that on moral issues he's a moderate? Well, as I've said so many times, Hillary Clinton's far worse. And here's the encouraging thing about Trump that we should take heart about as Christians and conservatives. So far, his appointments have shown not being a moderate, but have shown favoritism towards strong conservatism. This Pence appointment, if this is, I've said this since Pence was appointed as his VP, if this is a Trump presidency, I will take it for 8 years. He appointed a strong conservative as his VP candidate. He's given us strong conservative options for Supreme Court justices. And again, I've said so many times, this is one of the biggest issues. Probably five, approximately, of the 9 seats in the Supreme Court are up for grabs in the next presidential term and maybe the one after. And that will change this country, affect this country for generations, generational impact. And if this guy is going to put conservatives who are pro-life, pro-marriage on that bench, let's. There's no question. We don't just take Trump because we have to. We are behind him 100% and want this guy. He's surrounding himself with conservatives. He is listening to Christians and pastors and getting together even an evangelical coalition, a conservative right coalition as advisors. He's got Michelle Bachmann advising him from the congresswoman from, I think it was Michigan, I can't remember exactly now, but one of the strongest conservative voices out there, outspoken Christian, that served in the House and ran for president in 4 years ago in the primary. Michelle Bachmann is top notch. He's got her advising. This is fantastic. This is just what you want for a GOP candidate. And as far as Hillary goes, a nightmare. Guaranteed. Top to bottom, across the board. She will overturn American values and traditions. She will destroy us when it comes to foreign policy. She will destroy us with domestic policy. She will continue the racial strife. She will continue the grievance politics, victimization, dividing the country, advancing socialism. She's going to continue with Obamacare. Do you know Trump said repeal and replace Obamacare? This is a dream. And he's got the fortitude, it seems, in his character, and he's got the confidence and the firmness to stick to it and hold to these campaign commitments he's made. We have to vote Trump in 2016, every conservative, every Christian, every Republican, and get this guy in office. And I want to see, as I've said so many times, I want to see the liberals squirm. I want to see the media personalities vaporize, disappear. They're threatening to leave the country. If Trump gets elected, you know what? See ya. Go ahead. Don't let the door hit you. Leave the country if you can't handle it. Guys, a President Trump in January, honestly, at this point, will be a dream come true. I'd love to be saying those words, hearing his speeches, and watching liberals absolutely melt. It will be a pleasure. And you know what? I think he's going to win. He's going to win big. Let justice roll down like waters, America, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Don't believe the hype out there. The GOP isn't lost yet. We have a choice, a good, positive choice in this election. We're not just stuck with Trump. We get to have Trump. We get behind him and promote him as our candidate. And we can win. We can bring reform, and we can reestablish good conservative policy with a Trump presidency. And as far as the liberals and Hillary Clinton and their outlandish socialist radical leftist agenda and campaign, go ahead, hold their feet to the fire.